Mine is good. All right.
I'll get going here just a minute.
This is so great to have this many ladies in here. Forgive me right quick because I cannot see good. I had cataract surgery done on this eye. It's healed up. This one has not healed up. So I'm either blind this way or seeing this way. So we're going to try to get in here. Not going to pray. We're not going to take prayer requests. We already did that. He told me we didn't have much time, so I'm going to get right into this. We're going to be studying the armor of God, the whole armor of God. I know you've heard of this. You may be like me. I've looked at that verse. I've been over it. I know what it says. Somehow in my mind, it applied more to men than women. Armor, warfare, men do that. There's controversy. Should women be in combat? Some say yes, some say no. We're talking physical. The war we're in, and I don't know if y'all know this or not, but each one of you, you can look at the person next to you and you can say, you are in a war. You are. Each one of you, you are in a war. You may not know who you're in a war with, but you're in a war. And before I go any further, I don't want anybody to think, she thought this up on her own. Isn't she great? She just knew all this stuff. I have been doing this Bible study. As you can look at it, man, I like to take notes and I like to draw. I was going and trying to find me some Bible studies. And of course, I was picking ladies of the Bible and how they did this, all of the sweet things. I saw this and I thought, nah, that's about men. I'm not going to do that. Well, I picked it up and I got to reading this. And this has probably blessed my spiritual life more than anything. There is an armor out there that we need, but when you think of armor, we think of physical things. We don't need physical armor. We need spiritual armor because we are at war. Look at our country. Look at what it's turned. Did you ever think that you would live to see the day when we would be deciding, well, yeah, I just gave birth to that baby, but I really don't know if I want it. So why don't we let it just die? Brother Tommy told me not to tell a lot of personal stories, but there's one story I'm going to tell. And Ann knows exactly who I'm talking about. This girl was pregnant. She went to her doctor's office. They did a sonogram. They said, oh, your baby's fine. The only thing, it doesn't have a head. Joke, joke, real funny, you know. Baby don't have a head. Well, she goes home. They get a call from the doctor's office that says, need you and your husband to come in. We need to meet with you. The doctor said, baby's moving. The baby's healthy. The heart. He said, but your baby don't have a head. And I'm like, when she tells me about it, as a sweet girl that I was very close to, I said, that's stupid. If the baby's moving, it's doing this, got to have a head because the brain is in the head and that's where the movement comes from, the life comes from. Well, she was so terrified by what was said that she didn't wait for her labor to go into labor. She wanted a C-section. They did a C-section. When the baby was born, a little girl, she had no skull whatsoever. She had a little face and a little pulled up like this with a brain that just sat right up on there. Now, had she gone through live birth and given it the proper way, the baby would not have survived, most likely, that birth. They laid that baby over there on a table. The doctor said, do not touch it. She was crying. She was moving. But she did have a severe handicap. The doctor says, do not touch that baby. Don't do anything to it. One nurse could not stand to see that baby laid there. She got her up. She cleaned her up. She fed her. The baby lived 9 months. Yes, she eventually died. She was handicapped. But could you imagine a mother or a doctor saying that child's not worth living? That child is not. God gave that baby life. God let that baby be born. There was a purpose there. She had another baby. The next baby had spinal bifida. She lived 9 days. To hear the mother, when she stood up, praised God for the two children that she had, praised him for working in her life to seek out to adopt a little girl that the parents didn't want. God's plan was working in that. Okay, but in this life now, we have, no, we're not going to do that. There's no family anymore. You've noticed a lot of the commercials, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I think this is against the Word of God, that there's two men all hugged up on the sofa having, you know, like a couple, and it's just, where's our world going? I mean, whites against blacks, Democrats against Republicans. I mean, men against women. I mean, there's just constant conflict. Who is our enemy? Who is our true enemy? We are going to get into the Word of God, but tonight we're going to size up our enemy. Anybody that goes to war, they're going to get together, they're going to have an intelligence meeting, and they're going to find out all they can about that enemy. What kind of weapons do they have? What are they going to face us with? We are going to talk about the war and who our enemy is. First, I gave out some papers, and the reason I gave you these, because this is mine, and mine's in my Bible, but you see how it's marked all over? I think it does you good to mark on your, a lot of people don't want to mark in their Bible. I didn't have enough. I'm sorry. I had faith that we'd have maybe 12 people. It helps you remember. If you pay something to it, and you see, and another thing, when I started this study, my Bible was the most important thing, but do you know what came my second best thing that helps me understand the Word of God? The Noah Webster Dictionary. That old dictionary that they weren't afraid to put in a definition that was biblical or spiritual. So I had been, I thought I was a pretty smart person. Man, I made straight A's in school. I was in the baby club. I thought, I'm smart. I would read this and I would pick out a word and I'd say, I thought I knew what that word meant, but that word don't mean what I meant. I don't know how to talk. It's going to be recorded too. Doesn't mean what I thought it meant. So I would write things on here. So we're going to size up our enemy. We're going to think about our enemy here. So I'm going to, I was going to get all of this typed up and in a nice form and try to talk on that, but this is fun. My study that I've gone through, my eyes have not let me do that. But the first thing I want us to do, we're going to start with the last chapter of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians is the epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And remember that this church at Ephesus believed in spirits. They worshiped spirits. So there's a spirit world out there, whether you know it or not. If we could shut our eyes right now and see the realm, I'm getting way ahead of myself on this. Have you ever shut your eyes when you're reading your Bible or when you're praying? Do you ever feel like there's a presence around? My husband was taking a class when he was in Bible college called Kingdom of the Cults, and I thought, that sounds interesting. I believe I'll read this book. And I'd be reading that book, and it would be talking about demonic activity that's in the world. And when I would shut my eyes, it was as if I would be like, there was a presence there. Even though you're saved, you know the Lord, Satan desires to oppress you. The last thing he wants us doing is reading this book. So, let me get back here. Y'all gonna have to bear with me as I figure out what I need to be looking at. Y'all are these words. Okay. Let's read this Ephesians. We're going to start at the back of the book. Got ahead of myself. Ephesians is divided up into like three parts. The first half is about doctrines and beliefs. What it teaches, doctrines and beliefs. The last three chapters are about how we apply these beliefs. Our responsibility and our duty to act on the beliefs and the doctrines that are mentioned before. So, you can read out loud with me if you want to, or you can just listen to me read. We're going to start in Ephesians 6, and then we're going to go from there. Finally, that finally starts. It's already talked before, and I'm going to challenge all of you that want to continue coming. Please read the book of Ephesians. Read it over several times so you'll know where we're going with this and what we're talking about. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? In the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles, it's an old archaic word we don't use very much. Let's say it's tactics, the tactics, the schemes, the trickery of the devil. Verse 12, this is the one we want to focus on for a little bit right here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against. What does principality mean? We wrestle against principalities. What does kingdom mean? Let's go there. What does kingdom mean? Kingdom is an area or territory that's ruled by what? A king. So a principality is a territory that's ruled by a prince. Who do we know is a prince? Satan. It says he's the prince of this world. He's the prince of darkness. Okay. Powers and then rulers of the darkness of this world. Okay. And spiritual wickedness. Do you know that just like there's a general, there's a, I don't know about military, what goes on down, but you got a high one up here and they keep going down. All right. In the spirit world, you got a high one up there. Satan himself. Then he has his imps. And the people, if there was a third of the heaven that left with Satan, where do you think they are? They're in his army. They're following his leadership. Okay. Spiritual wickedness where? In high, our Bible says high places. Do you know where that is? Is it on top of a mountain? Top of the Empire State Building?
Is it talking about the government?
Where?
In the government.
Well, not spiritual. A lot of people would think that spiritual wickedness in high places. That is translated, and I wrote it. I got so much stuff in here, so y'all are going to have to bear with me. That should be translated heavenly places, in the heavenlies. Okay, so we know we got a war going on in the heavenlies. We know that Satan is in the heavenlies. How do we know that? What does the scripture tell us? There's a scripture that says, God asked Satan, where have you been? Been roaming to and fro on the earth, looking for somebody. Well, if he's talking to God, where's God? God is seated on his throne in heaven. So Satan's before him, accusing Christians. That'll tell you, heavenly places. Where's this battle going to take place? Heavenly places. We are earthly beings. How are we going to fight? In heavenly places. When I did this, it's a lot of questions I had. That verse that I just read, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Okay, why do we wrestle? Why are we wrestling? Y'all are just very quiet.
Because we're fleshly.
We're fleshly? Yeah. But, all right, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, since we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that flesh and blood would be who?
Would be
people. Yeah. Right. Okay. We don't wrestle against them, but against principalities. So like I said, we don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against spiritual, demonic spiritual powers. Okay, influence of Satan. That's who we're wrestling against. But why? Why are we wrestling? Why are we as Christians? Why do we have to wrestle with the devil?
Because it's against our nature. We have God in us.
Because our relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Satan does not bother lost people. He's already got them. He's a liar. He's an illusionist. And he'll convince them that sin is fun. You're having a good time. You're going to be like this old fogies that go to church all the time and all they do is read the Bible and sing and pray. That's not fun. We wrestle because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, here we go. Open war is upon you whether you choose it or not. You could say, I choose not to join in this battle. I choose not to be in open war. Well, whether you know it or not, open war is already against you because the day you got saved, Satan thought, all right, I lost them. I can't take them to hell, but I can keep them from enjoying their religion. I can keep them from taking anybody else with them. That's what we're in for. That's the battle that we're in for. We've got to know how to stand against him. How many times does it appear the husband and wife are in a big argument? Is your husband your enemy? He's not. You have issues. You got a child that's breaking your heart. I mean, somebody that you are a grandchild, they're breaking your heart. I mean, and you're to the point of almost like, I don't have anything to do with him anymore. Is that child your enemy? No. Is the way that child may be living their life? Is the lifestyle their enemy? If that child or that grandchild is saved, you're not their enemy, and they're not your enemy. But Satan is the enemy of each one of you, and he is clashing. He wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy your joy, and he wants to take everything away from you so you will not be a witness. Let me tell you, all of these people that sing and that glorify God, if Satan can put them so that what's on their mind is the battle they're going through, they won't be effective. If the preachers and the teachers, if they are having a battle within their family, who is not their enemy, they're not going to be effective. Before we even get into putting on the armor of God, and before we totally size up our enemy, if we do not, ladies, if we do not go in this with our main focus of prayer, and I'll tell you, my prayer life is not what it needs to be. It sometimes comes second. It sometimes is out of duty. It's not out of what it truly needs to be. If our prayer life was where it needs to be, and if our concern for our loved ones, for our church, for lost people, our altars would not be as empty as they have been. And I'm talking to myself, because there's times when Brother Tommy preaches a wonderful message, and he'll say, if anybody has a burden, if anybody wants that, as far as it looks, we're all perfect. We have no burdens. There's nobody we need to pray for. There's nothing we need to do. Now somebody say, well, I don't want to come, I can't come down the altar because if I kneel down, and a lot of people can't kneel down. But sometimes just the act of walking, not being ashamed to walk down front and pray. Have you ever noticed this church is really good about when somebody comes down? How good it feels to have somebody come with you. I know one time a lady came down to pray, and I went up and I was praying with her. And all of a sudden, and I was like, I don't know this lady. I'm not real sure what to say to her. But somebody touched my back. They put their hand on my back. At that moment, it was like God gave me a boost of, say this to the lady, do this with her. You do not know what that meant to me. Now, a lot of times, when the preacher used to say, come here, just come pray with this lady, I'd think, sure, she might want to pray by herself. She probably don't want me coming up there. Sometimes just that hand on your back, just to know someone's there. They don't have to know what you're praying about. Sometimes we don't go to the altar because we don't want somebody to think, well, they're going to wonder what's wrong with me. What have I done? Why am I down here praying? But ladies, we got to make prayer very vital. I'm not saying you have to do it down there. But man, it's good when you see an altar with people praying. It's good when you see somebody who's not ashamed to bow on their knees and talk to a holy God. We are in a battle and we need prayer. We need to join together. We need to be women of the word, and we need to be women that are not afraid to enter into hand-to-hand combat with Satan. And that's what that word wrestle means. It's pretty much, we're going to go into a fight, but it's basically hand-to-hand combat. Nobody can fight your battle for you. Only you can fight it. But don't try to fight it until you are prepared in prayer and you are equipped all of the things that God wants you to be equipped with. Now, let's move on real quick. Go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to do a lot of searching through the Bible here. 2 Corinthians, I think this is Mary. 2 Corinthians 10. That's it. Thank you. I think you used my sleeve. 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Remember that. Try to remember it. The troubles you're going through, the battles you're going to, Shelby here, she probably faces battles that we could only think about when we were a teenager. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened at our school that everybody talked about is what? Did you see those boys? They were out behind the boiler room, and yes, the school we went to had a boiler or whatever that was, but that's where they could go smoke. That's what we faced. That was the bad thing. What,
cigarettes.
Smoking
cigarettes, too.
Yes, did I say the boiler was smoking? Oh, yeah, cigarettes. Yeah, cigarettes. I didn't know they smoked other stuff.
I didn't know there was other stuff.
No, I didn't either. You'd be surprised at how stupid I was when I was in school there. I just told you I thought I was smart, but I was really stupid. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Because we're going to get, not only are we going to get in armor, we're going to get into something else. And for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, when you think of the word carnal, sometimes you think wicked. Carnal just means earthly. So, sometimes if you listen, how many of you people like country music? If I say it's carnal, I'm not saying it's wicked. I'm just saying it appeals more to the flesh than to the spirit. Just like, and that doesn't mean fleshly, sinful fleshly. It just, you know, it appeals to your flesh more so than gospel or hymns. So, and this part here, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I looked up a definition for stronghold, but I don't really have it in here, but it means a whole lot more than we think it does. Okay, I'm going to turn over here. I'm kidding. Why do we wrestle? I talked about that today. Why are we targets for the enemy? Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll denounce Jesus and say, I quit going to church. It's not worth it. I'm not listening to this anymore. Satan probably won't bother you near as much. And if he's not bothering you, if you say, everything's okay in my life, I got no problems, peachy keen, I like the way that things are, everything's great, might want to check up. Might not be down on your knees near as much as you need to be. You might not be witnessing near as much as you need to be. Because he's going to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And that battle is there, whether you want it or not. It is unavoidable. Put back and forth. The battle we have is unavoidable. The enemy that we're fighting with is invisible. Anybody ever seen the devil? I thought I had sometimes. But we haven't. We haven't seen him. Has anybody ever heard the devil talk to you? Don't say yes. We may have felt an influence, but we never heard him talk to us. You've never touched him. You've never seen him. He's invisible, but he's real. He's as real can be. The location where we've already decided where this battle's taking place is in the heavenlies. And we should not enter into this battle. We're in the battle, but don't enter into it thinking I'm going to defeat him without prayer. Prayer is what we have to have. Now, weapons. We're going to go fight with the devil. How many of you ladies have got a license to carry a weapon?
Bible's
your weapon. But yes, we that weapon I have. So the devil's in this room somewhere. I'm going to shoot him. You're not going to hit him.
I'm not going to help you, huh?
No. We're going to have a weapon. But that weapon is, like I said, it's the Bible. And when we finally get to that, that's one of the last pieces of our armor. It's our sword. And we're going to get there. But the victory is irrevocable. And I thought, I know what that means. I didn't really know what that meant. Incapable of being taken back or disavowed. The victory that Jesus Christ has already won can never be taken back. Yeah, I've seen these sports things. I hate these sports analogies, how somebody do something. We need instant replay. We need to see this happen somewhere. And they can take back what they thought was a win. This will never be taken back. Okay, Satan is our enemy, but he's not equal with God. A lot of people say everything that God has, Satan has an opposite to it. He really doesn't. Satan is not God's peer or his counterpart. Who is omnipotent? What's omnipotent mean?
All
places. He can be all places at all times. That's a hard thing to comprehend. If you think with your logic, and Satan will do that, he does it to me. Sandra knows I think a lot. I think about everything. And if you try to think about spiritual things, and if you try to think about some things with the knowledge that you have earthly, you're going to start doubting. Because what is most of the scripture on? Faith. What's faith? It is. Faith is the substance of things so far and the evidence of things not seen. Your logical mind cannot comprehend that. They think, that's why these evolutionists, they try to, you know, if it doesn't make sense, you gotta have it. Okay. Let me go over here, where we get to. Satan, we did omnipotent. What is, I said omniscient a while ago, didn't I? Omnipresent means he's everywhere. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. He knows everything. I had a guy that worked with me, and he would say, if God knows everything, and he knows what's going to happen, he knows the choices you're going to make, he knows what you're going to, he said, why pray? You think about it with your logical mind, you think, am I that important to him that I can make him change his mind?
A king did.
Huh?
A king changed his mind.
A king made him do something that couldn't be done, as far as everybody thinks. But a lot of times you'll think that, though. Our little press is not that important to make God change his mind. But it really is. Okay. All right, first thing here, we're talking about wrestling. If you got your paper, you don't have to do this now, but at home, if you look at it, circle everything that you don't fight against and underline what you do fight against. That'll help you to establish. Look, like I said, it's hand-to-hand combat. That a wrestle denotes a fight or a contest between opponents. Not a bunch of them, but an opponent, hand-to-hand. You and that one opponent. You're going to fight with them. Make sure you're... And then at the bottom, I left something for you to write down, and I really hope y'all do this. It helped me tremendously. Mine, as you see, has a circle. And this asked me to write down the person, the most difficult person, the most pressing problem, and our most overwhelming circumstance that you're facing in your life. You'll write it down. Write it down. And think about it. And then after we kind of go through the study and all that, you're going to look at it and you're going to think, I wrote something down here. And then I had to go back and I wrote what was suggested. I realized that that person was not my real enemy. My enemy was myself. And it asked what did the, and a lot of the things that I wrote down, I'm not going to share it all with you because it's nobody's business but mine and God's. But when it said, how does this battle make you feel? And you know what it did? And there's people that know me pretty well that probably saw this time in my life. But I put that it's making me bitter. I was turning into a bitter person. I did not want to sing in the choir. I didn't want to sing, period. I wasn't interested in teaching. I just kind of wanted to come to church. I wanted to sit on the pew and I wanted to listen, and I wanted God to bless me and make me feel good and happy, and it wasn't happening. And I thought, what's wrong? I prayed this prayer and I told him what he needs to do to make it better. He didn't do it. Finally dawned on me when I kept, as I went through this Bible study, it'll tell you in time, so go back and look at your circle. Go back and look what's in your circle. I was amazed at how my eyes opened to what my real problem was. If I'm where I need to be with God, and if I'm in these scriptures, and if I'm prayed up, things of this world are not going to bother me. I'm going to be able to say, let's say that person bothers me, instead of straighten that person out, don't you know they what they're doing makes me mad and wrong and I don't like it and I need you to fix them. And then God finally, this is what he spoke to me, he said, why don't you just ask me to give you a forgiving spirit? And it's amazing how much sweeter all these people got. He changed them. I still lots of times have to pray, Lord, you know, I'm married. I have to say sometimes, forgiveness, give me a forgiving spirit. So you know what I'm talking about. Okay, something here that came to me that I really hadn't thought about. Did you know that everything that occurs in this visible, physical world that we live in, everything that happens somehow is directly connected to the wrestling match that's being waged upon us by Satan? You can say, well, a lot of good things happen to me in this world. How can that be? Because God, as Satan is accusing me, God has looked at that person and said, it's under the blood. You leave her alone. When bad things happen, sometimes you'll think, he may say, no, she's got some things to learn. She's got to learn. She's got to come to me. She's got to. Everything that happens, somehow, if you truly believe God is all-knowing, cares about your life, and knows everything, somehow, everything that's happened, it's either for your edification, to encourage you, or it's to teach you. It's to teach you what you need to change. Our enemy may be invisible, but he is not fictional. He's very real. He's persistent. And his whole theme is to wage war against us. He may not be the personal one coming to you, but he is sending somebody your way. Oh, my goodness. Time is getting away from me. All right. We get to verse 13. Wherefore, take up unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Ladies, get prayed up. Get ready to stand and put on our armor. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is what we've been talking a lot about. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, what is supplication? It's earnest and humble entreaty to the Lord. Think about it. It's not just supplication, it's a prayer. It needs to be earnest. You need to humble yourself. You need to confess your sins, and then you need to be there with him. What is perseverance? It's persistence in anything. Anything that's undertaken. I'm sorry to tell you, ladies, sometimes I'm a quitter. I'll start something, and I'm gung-ho, and I'm going, and I think this is taking up too much of my time. And I'm talking about spiritual things. I want to watch a movie. I'll just read this chapter real fast and go watch that movie. Sometimes I'm a quitter. I'm just, y'all pray for me that I won't be, that I'll see through to the end. Persistent in anything undertaken, continued pursuit. And then our prayer needs to be specific, strategic, and personal. How many times I've heard people, we used to have the ladies' prayer room, and I'd call on somebody to pray. Oh, no, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray out loud. I don't know how to pray out loud. All it is talking. All it is talking, just like I'm talking to you, is talking to God. Nobody, when somebody asks you to pray, nobody cares how you pray. As far as the word, you don't have to use fancy words like give us our Lord and our name. And there's so many phrases that people say. They're just, we might as well say, God's great, God's good, let's thank for food by his hands, we're fed. I mean, be specific. Call on the people you know. Yes, ma'am.
Say that again. Our prayer should be specific.
Our prayer should be specific. Don't go to the Lord and just say, and this is some of my prayers. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all you've done for me. I thank you for my blessings. I thank you for this. And that's not specific. That's something you say every time. What would hurt us to say? I'm going to use Tracy for an example. That song that they sang Sunday morning, that blessed me beyond measure. I mean, normally I'm not going to sit out there and do this for a long time so that everybody in the church is going to say, what is wrong with her? Why is she doing that? That song was specific to me. And I told God, I said, God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit touched my heart and let me know that what you want from me, the only reason that I'm here on this earth, the only reason you're here on this earth, is to worship and magnify and praise him. And we are ashamed of doing it. Now, my husband don't do stuff like that. But he cries like a baby. I mean, he just cries. But I have to, sometimes I have to say, woo, thank you, Jesus. I mean, I have a hard time not doing that. And maybe sometime I should. I don't know. That may be what God's looking for. This has nothing to do. You shouldn't ask me that question about specific.
No, and you said something
strategic.
Else.
Strategic. Okay? Lord, save the lost. That's a good prayer. My strategic prayer right now, and I'm not going into a lot of detail, but it's very strategic, and I'm like, Lord, my granddaughter. My granddaughter needs a relationship with you that will focus her more on her relationship with you than the relationships that she's having with someone else. Lord, my grandson. My grandson needs a strong influence in his life. Put somebody there that can reach him. That's specific. Strategic means find out what the people need. If you've got a coworker that there's just something there and she's pushing your buttons, your boss, somebody, that's not your enemy. Find out what's making that person the way they are and pray for them strategically. God, what can I do? What can I do to reach that person? What can I do to make this better? Be strategic. And the last one I said is personal. God bless the whole world. Bless the whole world. Bless all the lost people. That's not personal. Know your world. Know your people. Know the ones that are around you. Yes, still pray for the world. Still pray for personal to you. If it's personal to you, you are going to have more influence with God and letting him know. God, we got to move on. Let's go to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians 1. We're going to hit on all these things. Won't have enough time. Now, this is a prayer. We're talking about prayer. We need to take some of these things as prayer. This is Paul. And he is praying for the people of Ephesians. But now, you're going to look at, we're going to do 18 through 23. Now, I'm going to change them. Now, I'm not changing the word of God, but say we don't know how to pray. Did you know you can pray the Bible prayers? Make it personal. I made this right here personal to me. And I'm going to do it. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding so that I'll be enlightened. Lord, help me to know what's the hope of your calling for me. And what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance that you have for me and all of the Christians? Lord, help me to understand the greatness of your power to me because I believe. And I believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ when you let him die in my place on the cross and then you rose him from the dead. And you've sat him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, the devils of this world and Satan who attacks me, and every name that is named, not only in this world, Lord, but also in the world that you have to come. Because God, you put all things under Jesus' feet. And you gave him to be head over all the things that are in the church, which is the body of Christ, not just this church that I go to, and which is Jesus' body. And the fullness of you, Lord, who fulfilled all things in him. Now, and I pray that prayer that way. And I found a lot of them in here. Let me give you a few words. What does enlighten mean? It means to furnish with a clear vision. God, open up our eyes to let us really see the vision out there. Hope. What's the word hope mean? Our blessed hope. We're going to go on a trip, I hope so. That's not what you mean. I wish we get to go on a trip. There's a difference in the word hope and wish. Hope is a confident. When the Bible uses the word hope, it is a confident expectation of a future event. The hope of his high calling. Our hope is in Jesus. We can confidently expect him to do what he said. Calling, because it says, you know, we're praying for the hope of his calling, the confident expectation of his divine summons, or his vocation, or his invitation. When God calls you, he gives you an invitation. He calls people to be saved. He calls people to be preachers. He calls people. It's a calling that he has, and we have to recognize it as such. And then inheritance. That's an estate given or possessed by donation or divine appropriation. Our inheritance has already been given to us through Jesus Christ. Wrought is something that he's performed. Now, I want to get into something here that we're just running right through this. Okay, that Ephesians that we just read, that was a prayer. Let's go to, we're going to do this real quick. 3:14, chapter 3. I need your glasses. Chapter 3, 14 through 19. And this is Paul praying again. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, he's talking about, Paul's praying for the Ephesians, we could say that he would grant us according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his might in the inner man or in me, that I could be strengthened. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able, this is what we really need to focus on, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Comprehend means to understand, to conceive, to take hold of, or contain in your mind, or to possess an idea with certainty. And when I had to put this in my own words here, as I was asked to do, this is what it means to me, that God will open our mind's eye to his truth and to know the hope, our confident expectation of his calling, the spiritual riches he has for us, how great his power is as he raised Christ from the dead, gave him all power over everything, and that we may comprehend the fullness of his love for us. If we can do that, if we can ever truly understand how much God the Father loved us, that he would turn his back, not on his son, that he turned his back on our sins. As Christ had our sins nailed to the cross, turned his back on it. But Jesus paid the price, and then he raised him up. And if we can truly comprehend what, how much God loved us and what he did, then we will let Christ have complete control over our life. They're out. Vision, right quick, I want you to go to 2 Kings 6. We cannot fight this battle, and we cannot put on this armor until we realize it's there and we realize it's available. I had looked over this, but I want you to look at this real quick. 6, 15 through 17. This is a story of Elijah and his servant. And they were fixing to go into battle with the king. You got it? All right, there's 15. And when the servant of the man of God, that was Elijah, when Elijah's servant was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do, or what shall we do? We are surrounded by this army. What are we going to do? And verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, how many times has somebody told you that? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Pray that. When you pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. If we could bow our heads and say, Lord, open my eyes and let me see if I stand here alone or what I have. If we could close our eyes in this world and see the realm of evil in high places and the angels of God in high places, and it's almost as if we're down on our knees. Try to imagine you're down on your knees praying, and there's a demon leaning over, trying to lean over and say, they're never going to change. They're too far gone. You can't get them back. It's all over. And that if you could see that angel, it's trying to push them away from you and get them away from you. If you could see how much we have fighting for us, and if we could see what God has for us out there, then we'd be ready to fight. So ladies, this week I want you to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray specific. Pray strategically. And make it personal. Next week, man, I left out so much here. But next week, we're going to look a little bit what lessons we already have. I'm going to ask you to read Ephesians, just read Ephesians 1. And then as you go through, you look at all the blessings, the promises that are already there for you. Look at that. The next week, we're going to look at the gird. We're going to gird up our loins. We're going to talk about a girdle and what a girdle does. Some people translate it a belt. A belt don't cover up a whole lot and don't help a whole lot, but we're going to gird ourselves. What are we going to gird ourselves with? Truth. What is truth? Jesus Christ. Let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for these ladies. I thank you for their attention. God, I wish I just had so much more time to share with them what you've shown me over these weeks in this study. Open our spiritual eyes, Lord, to help us to see the battle that's going on, but help us to realize, God, that you have already won this victory. We just need to be faithful to claim it. Bless us as we go home, Lord. Bless each lady. I thank you for them. I love them dearly. And Lord, whatever burdens, whatever things they have in their lives, God, I pray that you will help them to have a specific strategic plan to work this out with you, with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Turn these phones off.
Thank you, ladies.
Brother Tommy, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hey, I want you to pray for the Mosley family. Got a call after.